That is okay. Sometimes life gets in the way of the best laid plans. And since it was my plan, it probably wasn't that great, to be incredibly honest. So, well, let's pray first. Then I'll tell you the story. It's a good one. Lord God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Bible, God. Lord, I thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to read it, to be able to learn about you, God. Because, Lord, you have revealed yourself through your word. We can see the heart of God all over this book. We can see Jesus Christ all over this book. We can see the Holy Spirit all over this book. Lord, I thank you, God, that even though you are the one who made the earth, the moon, the stars, even though you're the one that made the galaxies, God, the thousands of them that we found and the probably millions that we haven't, you still take time to care for your creation, to care for your children, your sons, and your daughters, God. And you wrote us. You wrote us a letter to show us both the story of your creation, the story of your people, and also to show us the love that you have for your people, the undying love and the forgiveness that is found only in Jesus Christ. And so, God, I pray you would bless us today. I pray you would bless this message, Lord. Lord, we say, come, Holy Spirit. Give us your words, God. Let us hear what you have to speak. Let us see what you have to show us, God. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today we're talking.
After taking.
That was a good prayer. What can I say? Keep. You got it now. Okay. Like I said, let's watch a video.
Tonight, with one of the most potent powers on earth, it can change lives in an instant. Everyone has it. It's the power to forgive. Watch it now in action in Steve Hartman's Assignment America.
Thank you, Lord.
In a small apartment building in North Minneapolis, a 59-year-old teacher's aide sings praise to God for no seemingly apparent reason. Indeed, if anyone was to have issues with the Lord, it would be Mary Johnson.
For all you've done for me.
He never had a chance.
In February 1993, Mary's son, Loramian Bird, was shot to death during an argument at a party. He was 20, and Mary's only child.
My son was gone.
The killer was a 16-year-old kid named O'Shea Israel.
I wanted justice. He was an animal. He deserved to be caged.
And he was. Tried as an adult and sentenced to 25 and a half years, O'Shea served 17 before being recently released. He now lives back in the old neighborhood, close to Mary. This close.
He lives next door.
Next door.
How a convicted murderer ended up living a door jam away from his victim's mother is a story not of horrible misfortune, as you might expect, but of remarkable mercy. A few years ago, Mary asked if she could meet O'Shea here at Minnesota's Stillwater State Prison. As a devout Christian, she felt compelled to see if there was some way, if somehow, she could forgive her son's killer.
What'd she say to you?
I believe the first thing she said was, look, you don't know me, I don't know you, let's just start with right now. And I was befuddled myself.
O'Shea says they met regularly after that. When he got out, she introduced him to her landlord, who, with Mary's blessing, invited O'Shea to move into the building. Today, they don't just live close, they are close. Clearly, Mary was able to forgive.
Unforgiveness is like cancer. It will eat you from the inside out. It's not about that other person. Me forgiving him does not diminish what he's done. Yes, he murdered my son, but the forgiveness is for me. It's for me.
For O'Shea, it hasn't been that easy.
I haven't totally forgiven myself yet. I'm learning how to forgive myself. And I'm still growing towards, you know, trying to forgive myself and what it is I done.
To that end, O'Shea is now busy proving himself to himself. He works at a recycling plant by day and goes to college by night. He says he's determined to pay back Mary's clemency by contributing to society. In fact, he's already working on it, singing the praises of God and forgiveness at prisons, churches, to large audiences everywhere.
Forgiveness is a powerful thing.
Yes, I'm grateful.
Which explains why Mary can sing her praise of thanks to her audience of one. Steve Hartman, CBS News, Minneapolis.
Wasn't that good? I'm glad the audio got to work because I couldn't tell a story. I couldn't tell a story that good. You know, it's amazing the power of forgiveness. And if you were looking in that video, you saw the gospel. You saw the gospel presentation. This woman had her son murdered, and she forgave his killer. And then not only that, she secured a place for him to live. Come and live with me. Live next to me. And then she is working with him to improve the lives of others. Church, as we learned last week, as Ken showed us, we all, every single one of us, we have a debt to God. A debt that was earned through sin, through turning away from him. And some of us may owe more than other people, and that's okay, but none of us can pay that debt. No matter how much we owe, it's more than we could pay. And so what does Jesus do? He forgives us. He cancels that debt. And then he says, come. Come and be with me. Come and live with me. The Bible says that right now he is preparing a place for us to live with him for all eternity. The news doesn't get any better than that. If that doesn't get you excited, I got nothing for you. And so I was preparing this message, I had a few other different things I was looking at, and I wasn't really excited about them. And then I remembered this video, and I showed it. And if you've been here for a while, you may have seen it before, because I stole it from Andy. he preached it, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago or something? Yeah. But as C.S. Lewis once said, he says, we don't need to be taught as much as we need to be reminded. Amen. And good stories, right. Doesn't matter how often you hear them, it's a good story. And so if you have your Bibles, open them up with me. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 18 today. For this quarter, last month, this month, the next month, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven and what makes up this kingdom of heaven. And we're looking at the parables that Jesus told. Now, a parable is simply a story. Usually it's got some symbols involved in which Jesus is trying to make a point. He's trying to teach something. And many of these parables start with the line, the kingdom of heaven is as if, or the kingdom of heaven is like. Your translation might say the kingdom of God. And today is no exception. We're going to start in verse 21. But before we get there, this is what we're going to see today. We're going to see that the kingdom of heaven is made up of forgiven people. That's the only way to get in. You got to be forgiven. Turn to Jesus. He'll forgive all your sins. But not only that, it's made up of forgiving people. You see, once we've received this great gift of forgiveness, how can we but forgive others? Amen. That is the natural outflow. You know, some people ask, they start to wonder, am I truly forgiven by God? And one way you can ask yourself, are you forgiving others? See, I believe that true forgiveness is only possible once the Spirit of God is living inside of you. Until that happens, you can't forgive because you don't know what forgiveness is. Sometimes people choose like a forgive and forget type mindset where we're just going to pretend the past never happened. That's not forgiveness. That's not what this lady said. Remember, she says she can't change the past. Her son was killed. But she can look towards the future. And so that's what we're going to see today. Now, in Matthew 18, just to give a little context, the background, as I've been calling it. This is a famous chapter, and it's famous because of the passage that starts in verse 15, which is where if your brother or your sister offends you or sins against you, this is where Jesus says, if you remember, go to him privately. And if that doesn't work, take two or three people privately. And if that doesn't work, then bring it before the church. You guys remember that passage, maybe? And so we're in the middle of that conversation where Jesus is trying to teach his disciples how to reconcile with one another. And then in that conversation, in verse 21, Peter asks this question. Verse 21 says, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Has anybody's translation say 70 times seven there instead of 77? And that's a very common, even more common translation than 77. But rest assured, the actual number doesn't matter a whole lot. It's the point behind it, which we're going to get to right in a little bit. And sometimes I've heard Peter gets a bad rap here because he's asking about forgiveness. And it's like Peter is only willing to forgive seven times. But we have to remember, Peter sat under the teaching of Jesus for about 3 years or so. And during that time, he began to assume that forgiveness was normal. Yeah. Forgiveness is a normal walk of life for the Christian. Amen. And he suggests seven times. Well, if you look in the histories, the rabbis of the day would say three times. You forgive somebody three times, then after that, you can break fellowship. There's no hope for them. And so Peter, he's being generous. He says, how about seven times? Maybe he had in mind, there's a verse in Proverbs, I think I have it in your bulletin, that says a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. And so Peter's thinking, you know, if a righteous person will fall seven times and rise again, I need to be willing to forgive him those seven times. And so he turns to Jesus and he says, how about seven times? And Jesus says, how about unlimited times? How about infinite amount of times? You see, Jesus took this paradigm that Peter had created and he just exploded it. He destroyed it. He took the direction Peter was walking on about checking off a list of how many times we forgive somebody, and Jesus says, nah. We ain't doing that. Amen. Let me ask you this. This is sidebar. Have you ever been walking one direction in life with your choices, with how you're living your life, and then Jesus comes in and says, no? Has that ever happened? How about that first time when you turned to Jesus? If you've said yes to Jesus and you look at your life today and compare it to what it was before, how different is it? A whole different person. That's what the Bible says. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation. It's not like he takes the old and he tries to tweak it and put some duct tape on it and fix it and then go from there. He says the old is gone. The new has come. So let me ask you this. If you've never come to a place where you've said yes to Jesus, I invite you to today. Why not today? Why not make today the day where we turn to him for the very first time? Or maybe it's the 100th time. Well, why not today? I'm going to caution you, though. My experience has been, and I'm sure it's the experience of others, when you turn to Jesus, he changes your heart completely. You know, the things you used to want to do, don't really want to do them anymore. Your whole new desires have come in. For me, before I knew Christ, you wouldn't see me in a church. Ever. I didn't want to go there for anything. And now it seems like no matter what I do, I can't leave. And so Jesus will change your heart. He'll give you a brand new one. And he will give you desires worth having. Let me say that again. He He will give you desires worth having. You know, the Bible says that he will give us the desires of our heart. Do you know why he can do that? Because his desires have become our desires. Once Jesus remakes our heart, what he wants for the world is what we want for the world. And he will give us those desires. So that wasn't in my notes. That was a freebie there. Some of you are probably thinking this message is about over. This is the altar call. We're not there yet. And so if you remember when I said the translation of that number doesn't matter a whole lot, if it's 77 times or 70 times 7, it's not as if Jesus is teaching us to keep a checklist. You know, you've forgiven someone 490 times and you tell them, guess what, buddy? That next time you're gone. And then I could come over and I could say, well, my translation says you only get 77 chances, so sorry. It's not that at all. Jesus is teaching that his forgiveness is unlimited. Unlimited. Turn with me. Let's go back to Genesis, the very first book in the Bible. If you can't find it, whatever page you're on, go left, and you'll get there sooner or later. But Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to read just two verses, but they tell us the story of a guy named Lamech. Now, Lamech, he was the great-great-grandson of Cain. Remember the story of Cain and Abel? First two sons that Adam and Eve had. And Cain rose up because he was angry with his brother, and he kills him. And then Cain runs off, and he starts his own group of people. There's a nation descended from Cain. And Lamech is in that line. Lamech is from the descendants of Cain. And this is what it says in verse 23. Genesis chapter 4, verse 23. Lamech said to his wives, I also believe, I think this is the first time maybe where we see two wives, where we see polygamy starting, I don't know. But verse 23, Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zilpah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech, listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. Do you hear any connections between that and our passage for today? You see, the vindictiveness of Lamech was unlimited. It was all-reaching. It encompassed his entire being. It was for revenge. For Jesus, forgiveness is unlimited. It encompasses his entire being, his drive for reconciliation with his people. And on top of that, the forgiveness that Jesus tells us to offer is unlimited. It should consume our entire beings. We should always be looking, how can I be reconciled to this person? And so that's the background for today's parable, this conversation about forgiveness. This reminder that the kingdom of heaven is made up of forgiven and forgiving people. They're one and the same. It's not like you have a group of forgiven folks and then you have a group of forgiving folks. They're the same. So let's read our parable. We're back in Matthew 18. We're going to start in verse 23 and read to the end of the chapter. And so right before this, if you look at the verse before, it says, Jesus said to him, to Peter, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 or 70 times seven, whatever happens to be there. And in verse 23, this is what he says. This is Jesus still speaking. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. Verse 27. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." That's what the first servant said too. Verse 30. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay all the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master, the king, summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. That's a hard parable. It's a hard teaching that Jesus gave. But let's look at it. Let's look at this parable. And let's understand it before we try to apply it. In here, the parables are always full of symbols. This one is no different. The king symbolizes God. The first servant would symbolize any one of us, me, you, everybody. And the second servant, well, that's anybody else. Anyone that owes us anything. And it says that the first servant owed him 10,000 talents. That is an astronomical sum of money. Incomprehensible. It is a huge sum of money. There's a guy named Josephus who wrote a history of the Jewish nation. And he says in there that in 63 BC, the Romans came and they conquered Israel. They occupied it. And they wanted to exact tribute from it. And so they took from the whole nation of Israel 10,000 talents. And so Jesus is saying it's as if this servant owes the king the entire national debt. What's our national debt today? Like 20 some odd trillion or something? Yeah. That's how I feel about it too. I mean, we can't even fathom $20 trillion. But it's as if Jesus is coming and he's saying in this story that that servant owes the king the entire national debt. It's a huge amount of money. And so the servant comes and he says, "I can't pay." None of us would be able to pay that. And so what does the king do? He forgives him. He cancels the debt. Now, it's important to see that the king wanted to settle the debts. That's important. We're going to come back to that. But the king forgives him. And so this servant goes out to another servant who owed him 100 denarii. Now, that would be translated to roughly 100 days' wages. A denarius was about the day's wage for a laborer, give or take. It's hard to make that translate to today's money, but $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, somewhere in there. Still a good-sized chunk of money. I mean, if somebody owes me $15,000, I might be on the phone, you know, saying, is today the day? When is this going to come in? But compared to 10,000 talents, nothing. Absolutely nothing. In fact, some of your Bibles have that translated as 100 pennies, 100 pence. It's nothing. And so that second servant owed him that money. And he begs forgiveness. And what does the servant do? He refuses. He says no. And he puts him in jail. You see, that first servant, he was forgiven a great amount. He should have been forgiving his small debts. Because the debt he was owed was nothing compared to the debt he was forgiven by the king. And is that not with us today? The debt we have been forgiven by our Father, you can't comprehend it. You can't understand it. It's huge. And so the debts that people owe us, while they may be big, while they may seem huge in front of us, they may be heavy, they are nothing compared to what we've been forgiven from the Father. And I want you to notice something. when the servant goes back to the king. It's in verse 32. This was after he had refused and after he threw his fellow servant in prison. In verse 32, it says, his master, the king, summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant." Elsewhere, how does Jesus tell us that we will be accepted to the kingdom? What does God say? "Well done, you good and faithful servant." Remember that? But this guy, who did not understand forgiveness, who held everything up that people owed him, he did not get that warm and fuzzy greeting. He got, "You wicked servant." And so that's our parable. And the point of the parable is this. It's actually a pretty simple point, but it's incredibly difficult. You ever have anything like that in life? Where it's simple, but at the same time, incredibly difficult, maybe even impossible? The point is this. We have been forgiven. Now, we can forgive. We have been forgiven. Now, we can forgive. Because the kingdom of heaven is made up of forgiven and forgiving people. Now, sometimes we have a misunderstanding about what forgiveness is. Forgiveness does not make us a doormat for people to walk all over you. Forgiveness is not about pretending the past never happened. That's not what forgiveness is at all. But forgiveness is this. It's that while the past happened, we're going to choose to take that burden that we feel, that this person who hurt us, and we're going to put it down. We're going to put it down at the feet of Jesus. And instead, we're going to take up his yoke and his burden, which is light. You know, the Christian should never give up on making forgiveness the goal. Never give up. Even if it's not received well, even if the other person still wants to combat, still wants to continue the conflict, we don't forget. We don't give up on making forgiveness our goal. We should have a posture of forgiveness. And what that means is, by default, I'm going to forgive. And then if there's some goofy circumstances, we can talk about that. But the answer at the beginning is always, always forgive. Now, this also doesn't mean that we don't ever confront somebody. Sometimes loving confrontation is very needed. I have some of that in my own family. Loving confrontation is needed. But when we do that, we confront with forgiveness and with reconciliation in our minds. Amen. Not with revenge, not with trying to prove I'm right and you're wrong, not with any of that junk that the world would have. We come up to someone in a loving way and we say, "I want to be reconciled to you. How can we do that? I want to take this hurt that we both experience and lay them aside. How can we do that?" The only way we can do that, church, is through Jesus. You know, Jesus, he places our forgiving of others on the foundation of our being forgiven by God. Does anybody remember the Lord's Prayer? It's in Matthew 6. How does it go? "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." The only way we can forgive others is if we have been forgiven ourselves. And you know, as a Christian, forgiveness, it's like breathing. It's essential for life. If someone's not breathing, it's not a good thing. If a Christian isn't forgiving, it's not a good thing. And as a Christian, we can breathe in the forgiveness of God. We rejoice in the fact that we have been forgiven. We sing amazing songs about what it is to be forgiven. And we should, because that is a glorious mystery, that the God of the universe would step in and forgive us. But as we breathe in his forgiveness, we then breathe out and forgive others. See, we can't always be inhaling and never exhale.
Yeah, that's right.
We breathe in forgiveness. We exhale forgiveness for others. Now, as I'm saying this, I am not naive enough to think that some in this room have great, great burdens and great hurts. You may have been hurt in horrible, horrible ways in the past. And you may be thinking, this forgiveness talk is well and good, but you don't understand what I've gone through. You don't understand what I'm dealing with, what the stuff that I'm in. And you don't understand that it's still happening even. This hurt that I am, it's still happening. And you're right. I may not understand that. But my encouragement, church, for you is this. Turn to the one who does understand. Turn to the one who does know what it is. Turn to the one who suffered tremendous hurts, who came down from heaven to be with his creation. And instead of being accepted, instead of being praised as a king, he was beaten and mocked and killed for crimes he never committed. And he forgave those who did it. And so as we look upon him, as we remember the hurts that he suffered, as we remember the wrongs that we have done to him, that I have done to him, and that I have been forgiven, now I can forgive somebody else. Now I want to close today. You go ahead and close your Bibles. I want to read a quotation from a journal. Not my journal. You don't want to read that. That's too boring. This is a journal written by a lady named Mary Karen Reed. She was 19, 20 years old. She was an immigrant to this country, a student at Virginia Tech back in 2007, where she was shot and killed. And this is just a fragment of the last journal entry she ever wrote. She says this, "When deep injury is done to us, we can never fully recover until we forgive. Forgiveness does not change the past, but it does enlarge our future." What a great definition of forgiveness. It doesn't change what's happened, but it does enlarge our future. It allows us to move forward without the burden of that grief or that sorrow. So let me ask you this, church. Who do you need to forgive? What burden have you been carrying around for days, months, maybe years, but you want to drop it off with Jesus? Because we're tired of carrying that burden around. The only way to do so is through forgiveness. Or maybe you're thinking, how can I go and forgive others? I don't even know what that is. I've never experienced true forgiveness. The only way that we can forgive is if we are first forgiven by God. And I've got some good news, church. He offers that to everybody. Everyone. It doesn't matter what's happened in the past. It doesn't matter what we've done. Jesus offers forgiveness. He offers us a new life. He offers us a new heart, a new body, a new creation that we can only have through him. He offers to take away our old self, our old heart full of bitterness, full of these burdens, full of grief and sorrow. And he offers to give us a new one, full of joy in him, full of forgiveness from him, full of the ability and the desire to forgive others. So if you've never turned to him, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, I want to invite you to do so now. He'll forgive all your sins. He'll cancel them out. He'll pay the debt. You know, if you remember in our story, it says that the king wished to settle the accounts. He wanted payment for that debt, and that debt had to be paid. And so when he forgave that first servant, how was the debt paid? The king was willing to take it upon himself. The king was willing to step in and to write off that debt and to pay for it out of his own pocket. Church, Jesus is willing to take our debts upon himself, to cancel them out, to pay for them out of his own pocket. And so if you've never experienced that forgiveness before, why not today? Let's pray. Join me in prayer, church. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you are a forgiving God. You are a gracious God. You are a merciful God. Lord, I thank you that as we read your word, as we read your Bible, we can read where it says, draw near to the throne of grace, to the mercy seat. It doesn't say draw near to the throne of judgment. It doesn't say draw near to the throne of condemnation. It says draw near to the throne of grace. And that can only happen because we have been forgiven, God. And the only way we could be forgiven, Lord, is if you took our debts upon yourself. Lord, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And that wage had to be paid. That bill had to be paid. And so instead of sticking us with it, God, the wages that we earned, you took it upon yourself to pay that debt, to pay that bill. And so now we get to enjoy the free gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in this room, God, that doesn't know you, that doesn't know what it is to be forgiven by the God of the universe, Lord, would you touch them right now? Would you reach them right now, God? Would you let them know what it is to be forgiven right now and to understand that now I can walk in the newness of life because of what Jesus has done? And Lord, I pray for all of us. We all have burdens that we carry around. Forgiveness can be a struggle for everybody. Lord, I pray you would constantly remind us that we have been forgiven. Now we can forgive others. And Lord, I pray, fill us with your Holy Spirit, God. That is the only way we can forgive others, is if we have your Spirit alive and well and speaking through us. The only way true forgiveness can come is through God Almighty himself. And so, Lord, I pray, come, Holy Spirit. Fill us, God, once again. Remind us to seek forgiveness and reconciliation above revenge, above bitterness, above out of some selfish need to prove that we are right. Remind us what it is to accept forgiveness from the Father, and then show us how to forgive others. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness and for your justice, because you took our debts. You paid the debt that we owe. That debt had to be paid. It's not like we could pretend it didn't exist. It does exist. But you have paid it in full. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. I want more to know what that is, God. To know what it is to have their debts paid in full. To know what it is that they don't have to walk around with grief, with sorrows. They don't have to walk around with these burdens that weigh us down. They can walk around knowing that bill's been paid. It's done completely. So show us, God. Every single day, remind us, God. Doesn't matter if we've been following you for a day or for decades. Remind us what it is to forgive, God. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Amen. At this time, if you need prayer for anything, please come forward. We'll hang around here for a few minutes to pray. But if not, please go get your children. It's time to get them. And I thank everybody for coming, and I pray you have a good day. Be blessed, and we'll see you next week.